Whether you're going through a relationship catastrophe, whether you're going through an issue where you've lost your job and everything's changing in your life, whether you're raising children, whether you had a catastrophe, a death in your family, whether you've had divorce or a prognosis from a doctor, no matter what's come your way, no matter what flood, no matter what tragedy, what government oppression in China, no matter what happens in your life, you serve a God, Jehovah God, the God of all creation. He created the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them in 6 amazing days. You have a God who is powerful enough and wise enough to trust. You see, if God was all powerful, but not all wise, could you trust Him? You couldn't, right? He might use His power in a dumb way. If you had a God that was all wise, but impotent, He couldn't do anything, would that be a God you could trust? God is all powerful and all wise. You can trust God. That's the number one lesson from this particular passage of Scripture. God is trustworthy. Well, let's go on. There's more to it. Maybe that's the next step you need to take. You'll see the next step on the back of your communication card are some next steps. That's so I can be praying for you this week. And if you checked those boxes last week, I prayed for you this week that God would help you memorize a Scripture, or God would help you in a certain area that you indicated you needed to walk in. Did you know the Christian life is a series of next steps? It's a series of next steps. Billy Graham did not become Billy Graham overnight. He had a series of steps and things and ways that God wanted him to grow. I'm reading the life of Moses now in my private devotionals, and Moses had 80 years of growing to do, next steps to do, before he became a leader that led the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. Life is a series of next steps. We all need to be taking a next step. So take your communication card out today, and maybe that's the next step that you need to do, is memorize Romans 8:28. You will go through something when you have to know, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand this, but You said if I love You, if I'm called according to Your purpose, that this is going to somehow work out for good. And that's the verse you need to have memorized. Every Christian needs to memorize Romans 8:28-29. I encourage you, if you haven't got that down, to mark that as the next step for you. God will use it in your life. As we move on from there, on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark rested on the peaks of some mountain in the mountain chain of Ararat, mountains of Ararat. That's located in modern Turkey. This happened about 4,400 years ago, about 1,600 or 2,000 years before Christ, this event happened. In verse 4, it says, the ark came to rest, which reminds us that Noah's name means rest. As we went through that a few months ago, what those names meant, and that was Noah's father Lamech had hoped that his son would bring rest to a weary world. The curse of God was upon the world. The curse of God is still on the world, and we have to go to work, guys, and some ladies work also, and you have to earn a living by the sweat of your brow. It's not easy. Before that, work was a pleasure. Adam and Eve tended the garden and worked in the cool of the day, and it was a pleasure. When we get to heaven, we'll continue to have work. Our life has meaning through our work. Sometimes our work today is meaningless, isn't it? It's an assembly line. It's redundant. It becomes a drag. That wasn't how God created work, but that's what happened. So God made a prophecy through Noah, and his name means rest. God's going to put a rest to all the evil through Noah's day, and he certainly did. Through the ark, though the ark had rested safely, Noah was waiting for the Lord to tell him what he should do. The catastrophe was over. The ground was drying. We read today that the ground became dry, but Noah was still waiting on God. He waited 40 days and sent out a raven. Why a raven? I don't know. But a raven is a savage bird that can feed on carcasses and all that. It did not return. It kept circling and it kept out there, and it's a scavenger bird. Then he sent out another week later, he sent out a dove which returned, and he took it back in the ark. He sent out a dove a week later, and that dove returned with a fresh olive leaf. And by the way, a dove bearing an olive branch is a familiar symbol of peace all over the world today. That's pretty much a universal symbol. Why do you think that is? Because God made peace with the world. God said, we sang today about it being slow to anger. God is slow to anger, but that doesn't mean He's always never going to be angry. God showed His anger in the flood in dealing with sin, because sin is so awful. Sin is so bad that He judged the world once, and God will judge the world again. But a universal, just about anywhere you go, a dove with an olive branch is a symbol of peace. And it's true all over the world. Another week went by, and He sent out another dove, and that dove did not return. And He knew then that the earth had dried up, that there was place that they could go. What does this mean to us? We're going to ask that question one more time. What does this mean to us? When things are in constant turmoil, we can trust God as Noah did. That's the first thing. We've learned that we have a God that we can trust, and now we need to apply that truth. Now we know we have a God that we can trust. We need to trust God just as Noah did. When things are in turmoil, trust God just as Noah did. God will provide real peace and real rest for you. He promises to do that if you belong to Him. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. It says, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will provide rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy, Jesus said, and my burden is light. God promises to give rest to those who belong to Him. That's an amazing statement, an amazing promise to remember from God. When you're going through a storm, when you're going through a flood, when you're going through a catastrophe, because oftentimes when you go through those, I remember my mom hardly ever slept for those weeks and months following my nephew's death, Nathan's death. She was probably the most impacted besides my brother. And she would be awake at all hours of the night. But she got rest. How did she get rest? She got her rest not from her sleep, but from the promises of God that she meditated on when she couldn't sleep. That gave her rest during those moments, and she would testify to that today. She found her strength not in her rest, not in her sleep, but in the Lord. And that's the thing that we got to rely on even before that catastrophe comes, that we can find that strength in the Lord. What's the opposite of this? If you don't belong to the Lord, you have the same promise? No, you have a different promise, and that says the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. But those who belong to the Lord, they find rest when they are weary. Philippians 4 speaks about our peace. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Powerful verse to memorize. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, no matter what catastrophe comes your way, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whether you have learned, whatever you have learned from me or received or heard from me, put it into practice." And look at this. "And the God of peace will be with you." If you belong to God, He promises you that no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what catastrophe might come your way, no matter what trial or temptation or issue, it may overtake you. But you will find peace in God. You will find rest in your Savior. You will find the help that you need from whatever's happening in your life from God, because He is powerful enough and because He is trustworthy in everything you go through. So maybe that's your next step today. Maybe the next step is you need to ask God to increase your faith. You see, it only says, Joe said a few moments ago, it only takes the faith the size of a mustard seed. But how many of you would like a mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, but it grows into a giant tree. I want the giant tree kind of faith, don't you? I always tell God, Lord, I know what you said about the mustard seed. I want a watermelon size seed faith. Can you give me that? I want my faith to be increasing. And that's what you want to pray with me. Maybe you want to mark that on your card, and we'll pray together that God will increase your faith. Noah built a hatch, a window in the ark. And in the upper deck, in the Bible, in verse 13, it refers to it as a covering. It wasn't that he pulled a tarp over the boat or something like that. Covering's a little bit deceptive, not deceptive, but a little bit of a wrong word. It was more like a hatch or a window or something he could open and close. And he opened the hatch so that he could survey the world around him, so that he could look out upon the land and see what was happening when the flood was over. This was the one-year mark, 365 days on an ark. How many of you would like to have been Noah? Whew, those smelly animals. Think about a rainy day on the ark with nothing to do. It would have been a tough existence for over a year. But this was the one-year mark. Noah could see that the ground was dry, but he still did not move out of the ark. Get that? Noah could visibly see that the ground was dry. And how anxious must Noah and his wife and his kids and their wives, how anxious must they have been to get out of that boat? Think about that. But he didn't. Noah did not move out of the ark until God told him to leave the ark. 26 days later, that order came and Noah obeyed God. Verses 15 through 19. What does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? When we go through a catastrophic tragedy in our life and things begin to improve, what do we naturally do? We naturally say, thank you. We're done with our prayers. We can put all that behind us and we step out, don't we? That's the most important time in your life. That's the most important time in your life to wait on the Lord. Think about that. We can get ourselves back into trouble very quickly if we don't wait on the Lord when things look like they've come to a calm. The ark is rested. It's on the mountain. Things are looking dry. But what was probably going on? Probably in the valley below where he couldn't see, there was still water. So he would have stumbled off the ship and maybe he couldn't have gotten back onto the ark. I don't know what the danger was, but so many times I counsel people and they said, but Pastor, I thought it was good to go back to the bar after I got done with dealing with alcoholism or drunkenness. I thought I could handle it. I thought I could reach those people and I find myself back. And it's worse now. It's worse now than it was before. When God deals with something in your life, when you've gone through a storm, when you've gone through a catastrophe, when you've gone through a disaster, and everything looks good, just continue to wait on God. That's the most important time in your entire life, when you need to just be still and know that He is God and wait for your next instruction. That's exactly what Noah did. He waited on the Lord. Things began to improve, and that's when people most often breathe a sigh of relief and start trying to do things in their own strength. That's not the time for that. You need to follow Noah's example here. Look in your sermon notes there. It says, when things begin to improve, this is your next two instructions. Wait upon the Lord, just as Noah did. That's the first thing. And obey God, just as Noah did. Don't breathe a sigh of relief and go, oh, it's all over. Thank you, Lord, and move on with your life. You better keep, that's the time to keep God's Word out, to keep in the Word, to keep searching for the Lord. I think I've told you this before, but I went through a catastrophe in my life. I didn't know if I was going to survive it. I was in the worst condition, state, mentally. I couldn't think well. My whole life was changing. I had a biblical counselor at the time. She says, you will never be normal again. Wasn't that great advice? Praise the Lord. She says, but brother, you'll find a new normal. And we certainly did, my wife and I. We found that new normal. But for that 6 or 8 months that we were going through that, every devotion I had, I would open up the Bible, just swing it open because I didn't know where to start. And it would say, wait upon the Lord. Every time I turned the Bible on, if I turned the radio on in the car, the sermon on the radio would be, wait upon the Lord. Wait, 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 wait. That's all God told me. That's I'm not a very smart guy. And that's how God gets my attention, by constant, constant, constant repetition. I wanted to do my... I'm the kind of personality that doesn't like to wait and do nothing. I like to get in there and fix it. If you know me at all, I like to be active and doing stuff and making strategic plans and working and making inroads. I don't want to sit in my problem and wait. I want to fly somewhere and get a solution. I want to talk to people and find the answer. And God said, no, you wait. I got you. You're right where I want you. You just wait on that ark with Noah. I know the ground looks dry. I know things look like they're improving. You just need to wait. I'll take care. It's my battle. You just wait. That was a great lesson in patience. I don't want to repeat it, but it was a good lesson, right? And so we waited on God, but it was important not only to wait on the Lord, it was also important to obey the Lord. We didn't take that step back into ministry. We didn't take that step back in too quickly in any area of our life until God said we should go back, until God said we should move forward, until God said it's okay to open the door of the ark and move on. Here's maybe the next step for you. There's two of them here. Maybe on your card you need to mark, ask God to help you learn to wait on Him. Maybe you're like me. Maybe it's not easy to wait on God. Maybe that's where you need to be. Maybe you need to say, God, I know I'm a type A personality and I need to get in there and fix it. God, help me to wait on You. Help me to learn to just be able to be in Your presence and have that be enough for me. Maybe you're the next step on here, and then maybe that's where you need to be. Ask the Holy Spirit for a heart of obedience. Ask the Holy Spirit for a heart of obedience. I want you to look at Ezekiel. I got it on screen here. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. It says, and I like this in the King James, in the NIV, so I'm going to turn there. Give me 1 second. I like it in the NIV better. Ezekiel 36. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. Isn't that an incredible promise? I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's an incredible promise from the Lord. When we wait on the God, when we are patient, when we just seek Him, we can obey Him, not in our own strength. We cannot obey God in our flesh. Martin Hawley doesn't have that capacity. All Martin Hawley can do is evil and wrong and stupid stuff. But with the Holy Spirit, I can obey God because He puts His Spirit in me to live. You want to know if you're walking in the Spirit? It's obedience to the Lord. It's not anything else. It's obedience to God. And that's how we know how we're walking with the Lord. He puts His Spirit within us. So maybe that's your next step. Maybe you need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you that heart of flesh, to make you sensitive, to actually live life through you. This is an illustration just to try to help you with that. I don't know how you think about demon possession. That's not really the issue here. But when someone's possessed by a demon, they are physically controlled by that demon. And that's a real thing that happens. And I know we don't see it in our society that much, but it's a real condition. Being controlled by the Spirit is almost similar. It's only God controlling you. It's only you allowing God to move into your heart and life and saying, God, I want the Holy Spirit to work through me, to guide my hands, to influence my thoughts. I want You to think through me. I want You to act through me. I yield my body to the Holy Spirit. When you're demon possessed, you have to give control of yourself over to that demon. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You invite Him into your life and say, God, I want You to work through me. It may cost me everything. That's not the important thing. I want You. I want to be all in with the Holy Spirit. He's a real active member of the Godhead. In fact, He is on earth today, working on earth in each believer. And I encourage you today, maybe that's the next step. Maybe you haven't heard much about the Holy Spirit. I think God wants us to work, to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. His Word says that He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean speaking in tongues and all of that. What it means is to be influenced, letting Him work in and through your life. I'm not anti-tongues, I'm none of that, but the influence here, the giving your life over, letting Him put a new heart in you, that's where the rubber really meets the road. That's what God wants to do in our life. I can't obey God without His Holy Spirit. It's impossible. But I can say, God, I'm willing. I want more of You. I want to be completely saturated with Your Holy Spirit. And I can take that step of faith and say, God, work in me. I give myself over to You. I could never preach if He didn't preach through me. I could never pray effectively if He didn't pray through me. I couldn't. These musicians, we pray every week, Holy Spirit, sing through them, minister through them, give them Your blessing. Don't let it be their song. Don't let it be their words. Don't let it be Kim on the keyboard. Instead, let the Spirit's hands just go into Kim's hands and let her play the keyboard through. Let the Holy Spirit play the keyboard through her. That's what we're talking about. Being saturated, being completely filled with. We talked about baptism a few weeks ago. Being so submerged in God that the Holy Spirit has just covered you and is every part in you everywhere. Make sense? Maybe that's where you need to go. Maybe you haven't heard much about the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants. He wants your life completely dominated. Every aspect, every thought, every action, every ministry opportunity, everything to be saturated by the Holy Spirit. And then God can use you. Then God can really use you. Let's pray. Father, if there was one message You would have had me share today, and then I was going to die, that would have been the message. And Lord, I believe that with all of my heart, that You prepared this message for us before the foundation of the world. And God, until we completely turn our lives over to God, until we completely surrender it all, until we completely ask You to saturate us and to move into our lives and let Your Spirit have complete control over every aspect of our body, leave nothing uncovered, leave no closet locked in our hearts. until we let you have your way everywhere in our life. And we're not ready for the storm. You might take us there, Lord, but that's the key. That's the key. In order to wait on God, we have to trust God that you're wise enough and powerful enough to deal with it. And Lord, that trust, that ability to trust only comes from the Holy Spirit. Lord, we can't wait on you. We can't obey you without the Holy Spirit. This last aspect of this sermon is the key to every facet of our life. To be successful in the Lord is to be completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Your disciples, Lord, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 and then filled again. It's a daily surrendering, a daily life, a daily walk. We should start our day going, God, pour your Spirit out in me. But is there any part in our lives, God, that is not surrendered and given over to your Spirit? And Lord, I'm not being Pentecostal. I'm not being Baptist. I'm not being anything. I want to go with your Bible today. What does your Word say about this, God? And then, Lord, challenge us. If there's some secret passageway in our heart that is blocked off from where your Spirit is allowed to go, if there's some area in our business world that we don't want the Lord to be, if Lord, we're too embarrassed to reach out and speak boldly about your name in some particular area of our life, God, would you show us that and just yield it to you today? Lord, I don't know what you're going to have us say tomorrow. That's not the important thing. But to live in the present and say, God, if you bring me to a waitress that needs to hear about Jesus, would you make me give work through me today for that? God, if there's a catastrophe in my life next week, next year, next month, would you let your Holy Spirit work through me even when, Lord, I can't feel your presence? Even when I don't know if you're there or not, would you still continue to let your Spirit just work through me? Help me be kind. Help me be patient. Help me speak with no rudeness whatsoever. Help me be forgiving, Lord, when I need you the most. Lord, you say in your Word to forgive, even as Christ Jesus forgave me. Lord, maybe that's where we need to be today. Whatever you call me to tomorrow, whatever you call me to today, Lord, help me live a completely surrendered life in you. Church, I encourage you to make that your prayer. That God would saturate you, that God would completely fill you. There's no altar call today because every one of us needs to pray this every day. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. We give it all over to you. Wherever that takes us, whatever you would have us do or say or pray or anything, Lord, may it be as you desire. And Lord, we'll give you praise and glory and honor, for you are glorified in what the Holy Spirit does. He lives to ever make glory to you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's step number one. I just encourage you to acknowledge your need for Jesus Christ, to invite Him into your life and your heart. Don't wait till tomorrow to do what you need to do today. Just know that you've sinned and say, God, I need Jesus paid the price on the cross for me, and I invite Him into your life. If you need help with that, you can mark that on your card. I'll be happy to connect with you sometime this week, or you can see me after the service and we'll connect. We're going to have our offering in just a few minutes, and I want to remind you that the last Sunday of each month is Mission Sunday. And we support two missionaries here, Josiah Maddox of Child Evangelism Fellowship. He administers all the Good News clubs throughout Brooklyn and Queens and all of that area. And so we want to help him financially. We also help Ken and Ann Howe, Wycliffe Bible translators, currently working in Nigeria, and that translation is going incredibly well. They have solar equipment now that they can power all of their computers with, and it's really remarkable what Ken has been able to do in Nigeria. We continue to support him, so give generously in that mission offering today as we pass the plates in a few moments. Also, if the band can come, we can get ready for the offertory. Go through a few announcements for you. We have a new mission statement that the board has adopted for the church, and I want to share that with you. Our mission: to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That is so simple and plain and easy that we're going to adopt that as our mission statement. And our strategy, how we're going to get there, is a five-fold process: to welcome, connect, grow, serve, and invite. Those are great next steps, don't you think? First, you welcome people into the church. You're glad they're here, but they're guests. They're just checking things out. That's okay. The next step for them is to connect into the church, connect with Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and to connect into the church through membership. And that's a great step. And then to grow. And we're going to be talking a lot more about that the next weeks to come. We're forming leaders for this now and getting groups together. We're going to have community groups. You're going to hear a lot more about community groups. But that's where we grow. You grow in rows, for sure, but the fastest way a Christian grows is in a circle, not rows like this, where you can partake in that discussion, where you can grow with some people, where you can share life back and forth with those people, where you can encourage and be encouraged in a small group. So we're going to hear a lot more about this grow aspect of it in the weeks to come. And so be on the alert for that. But that's another step that you can take in your life with Christ. And then to serve. Naturally, we learn to love others. But then to serve means to love God. To serve means to love others. And to take what we learn and grow and to tangibly apply that in the serve aspect. And then we want to invite others back. We want to invite others to church. We want to invite others to a relationship with Christ. And so that naturally flows out of that last step. So that's the strategy, how we're going to make that mission that God has called us to work. And I just wanted to share that with you this morning. We also have Christianity Explored Tuesday night. And we had so much snow Tuesday night, we canceled Tuesday and Wednesday this week. But this Tuesday, we'll have dinner together, and we'll have Christianity Explored at 7 o'clock. So I encourage you to come out for that. It's a discussion format. It's not a lecture format like this. So come out for that and enjoy that. We're also going to have a church meeting. We have to announce it 2 weeks before. A church meeting on Sunday, February 9th. I got a very exciting announcement for you and something for us to do. So I want to call your attention to February 9th. That's going to happen during the service, not after the service. So that's just an announcement for that. Make sure you're here on February 9th. Also, we're going to have a chili cook-off. Who makes the hottest chili? Well, great. It's all going to be mild chili, I guess. Cheesy chili. Oh, you can do so much to chili. That was a really, really fun, great event last year. So we're going to repeat that again. February is a great chili month, if you know what I mean. So that's going to be on February the 15th. That's a Saturday night at 6:30. Is that right? 6:30. So come to Chili Cook-Off and make sure you mark that on a communication card. Ellen wants to make sure we have enough seats for everybody. So mark that if you can. And then lastly, if you're interested in connecting with the church, we want to offer you a spot at our next orientation class, our membership class on Sunday, the February 16th after church till about 3:30. So if you can connect with us on that, just mark your communication card. And we'll make sure that we got you a spot there. We also provide lunch, and that's kind of why we need that, is the lunch count. If you have kids, write that on there, and we'll make sure we have something for them to do. We'll get a babysitter's or whatever we need to make that work. So we can get our ushers together. We'll receive the offering this morning. Stand, and there we go, Frank. Let's pray. Ray, I got you down for the offertory prayer.
Amen. It's only the Lord to teach us to be good stewards of what you gave us, Lord. We pray, Lord, there's not a mic that can get used for any other purpose but to glorify you. And I pray it in the precious Son of Jesus' name.
Amen. Go ahead, gentlemen. Lord. The band did great today. Even with two down, they still did a great job, didn't they? Praise the Lord. If you're a first-time guest with us today, we want to again just thank you so much for being a part of our service today. We're so glad you joined with us. We believe that you're a gift from the Lord to us, and we just praise the Lord for bringing you out. We want to welcome you and just make you a part of our family. And so we want to remind you about the gift, C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. They're in the foyer and on the way out either direction. And we want to make sure you get that. Arlene will be out there greeting you, so you make sure you get one of those. And we just thank you so much for joining with us today. Also, I want to invite you, particularly the guests, to join us for fellowship. We have bagels, lots of bagels, and coffee cake, and all kinds of goodies out the doors. And to your left is the kitchen. And then you can come back here and enjoy some fellowship with us. So, Russ Stewart, would you do the benediction for us? Amen. Thanks for coming. God bless you.